Eric feels terrible that he cannot be with you today. And because of the content of this sermon, which is about how God works through all circumstances, I encouraged him to live into the words he had prepared for you all today. So I'm going to read what he has written, and I'm going to try to remain as true to his voice as possible. And so I said to Milt earlier, the good thing about this is if you have a question, you can't ask me. You have to wait to ask Pastor Eric. So make sure you take good notes. There are times in Scripture where we read what is being said, and though the text is clear, we struggle to figure out what it actually looks like to live it. Scripture is simple sometimes, but not easy. We read it and it creates a crisis in our mind because what it is suggesting to us runs so counter to our world and our own sense of self-preservation. These passages unsettle us, they challenge us, and perhaps worst of all, most of these types of passages are found coming from the very lips of Jesus. Our gospel passage this morning is a perfect example. Let's listen to the words again and let them sink in. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting anything back. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I would say, by and large, the wisdom of this passage is going to make you seem like a major chump in the eyes of the world. Loving enemies, blessing and praying for people who mistreat you, giving more to people who take from you, lending things to people and not expecting them back. I think most of us are calculating in our minds how long we could follow this advice from Scripture until we are penniless and beaten up and lying in the gutter. We hear this passage and we have a hard time translating it into our lives. But our passage from Genesis this morning is actually a great example of how to put this into action. Our passage tells the end of a story that many of us heard in Sunday school growing up. The story of Joseph and his many-colored coat. He is betrayed by his brothers, thrown in a well, only later to be sold into slavery. He has to flee from a master and finally ends up in Egypt, going from supposed criminal to lord over Egypt, only to eventually meet again with the same brothers who wronged him more deeply than most of us have ever experienced. Now he has the power to wipe them out, to imprison them, to torture them, to do everything and more than what they did to him. And when you read the narrative and the back and forth with the brothers, you can feel Joseph struggling with all of this. But in the end, what we heard today is how God's grace had transformed Joseph so he was able to do actual good, to love, to give, to care for his own family, which treated him with great evil. And instead of returning evil for evil, Joseph becomes God's salvation for the family that would eventually become the tribes who populate the land God promised to their forefather Abraham. There is a great reversal that takes place with Joseph. It's mind-boggling, really. He says to his brothers, "Come close to me." And when they had done so, he says, "I am your brother, Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt." It's in this realization that we get a window into what Jesus is asking and why Jesus is asking his followers to behave in such a counterintuitive way. Because this is how God works. In fact, Jesus alludes to this in our gospel passage. "Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." Jesus is asking us to behave this way because that is how Jesus behaves. He is kind to ungrateful and wicked people. He is merciful and willing to be treated unfairly, even as he is working to save those same people. What Jesus is inviting us to is to follow his lead. And here's the craziest part of it, but it's crucial for us to grab a hold of. Everything that went wrong in Joseph's life, everything people did to him that was horrible, God intended it for good. Indeed, God used it to save what ended up being millions of people. However, this isn't always something we can see in the moment. God's intention for our lives, for the things that happen to us, this is the part I said, Eric, you need to listen to your own words. God is a master at transforming even the most terrible circumstances into something good and beautiful. The hard part, now this part's for me, the hard part is that we don't always see it in the moment. Now, Eric wanted you to listen to something carefully here. Just because bad things happen to Joseph doesn't mean that God willed the bad things to happen. It is that the good things God had planned for Joseph's life could not be destroyed by the bad things that his brothers did. And in fact, the way God works is to transform those bad things, those evil things, those wicked things that Joseph's brothers did to him into something that saves us. I think we see that in the crucifixion. God operates in this world by taking its brokenness and redeeming it. This is something we see with absolute clarity through Jesus submitting to the cross. The question for us is, do we believe that God has a good intention for our lives? Do we believe it so much that we are free from getting even, from striking back, that we are free from protecting ourselves so much from the trouble of this world that we can scarcely be of use to God. There is no doubt that we will have times in this life where we wonder what good can possibly come out of the things that are happening. The challenge for us is to trust and believe and have faith in God's intention as best we can, to respond to trouble in this life like Jesus did, with mercy and with grace. I'm going to read you a poem. Eric only has the last name of the poet, Cowper, and it was written in 1773. And the title of the poem is Light Shining Out of Darkness. And I did not tell Eric to put a poem into his sermon. He already had it like this. The poem is the likely source for the phrase we often share with one another, which is God moves in mysterious ways. Although the first line of that, the poem actually goes like this. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Amen.